I know the end from the beginning, and that is truly comforting. Certainty is the standard of the Christ confession. Imagine that we know exactly how it all began, exactly how Adam and Eve, our parents, fell from God's grace, exactly how they lost immortality and were then banned from paradise the very same day. The Creator of the universe gave us a very verifiable book, and in that book are the answers to all of life's questions. All of the instructions for an abundant and eternal life are certain and recorded in its pages. This Holy Bible lays out in clear detail God's plan of salvation for man, and it is discovered in the cross of Jesus Christ and faith in His name. There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:10-12. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Our day and time of death has already been recorded, and our eternal destiny is secured. It is certain, Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. We know the end from the beginning, and such knowledge is comforting indeed. Dear visitor, have you yet to be born again, as Jesus directs in John 3:3? Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Today, you can be born again, born a very literal second time, this time of the Spirit of God. In just moments, I will invite you to follow me in a simple prompt, and if you follow from your heart, you will participate in the greatest miracle man can know. Today, all your sin will be washed away by Christ's cleansing blood. You will be a new creature. Today, all of Satan's bondages in your life will be broken. Every single one. You will be free. Today is surely your day. Here is the prompt I promised. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now, for today's subject. God said, Genesis 3:19, In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Genesis 1:26, And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God said, Genesis 1:29-30, And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. Man said, So what? If there's no recorded history past 5,000 years. I'm believing 13.8 billion Big Bang years anyhow. The alternative is that we would have to have God created, and I can't abide that. Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature 1,267, that will for the 1,267th time contend for the beautiful book, God's Majority Text Holy Bible. All of these faith-building features are archived here in text and streaming audio for your edification and to be used as a platform from which to convince the gainsayers that Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory. Every Thursday evening, God willing, they grow by one. Thank you for visiting. May God's face shine upon you with light and truth. You have arrived at the God Said, Man Said Genesis series. This is part 47. Each of these features begins with the following information from the first feature. According to a 2006 issue of Discover magazine concerning the deceased Carl Sagan, Sagan approaches religion like any phenomenon. He isn't on a quest for life's meaning, for a comforting philosophy, or even a guide to how we should treat the neighbors. Sagan seeks truth of a demonstrable kind. As a puckish example, he wonders why the book of Genesis didn't include God-inspired truths, end quote. The born-again scratched their heads in bewilderment. Did these folks actually read the book of Genesis? I suppose they did, but God's revelation is only revealed to the humbled hearts of the children of faith. This God Said, Man Said series will be called the Genesis series. It is our intention to travel through the entire book of Genesis and publish one major God-inspired truth after another. We will be pulling from previous God Said, Man Said features and adding the latest information as we go. The challenge was, if God did, in fact, author the Bible, why didn't he include God-inspired truths in Genesis, the Bible's very first book? This is the second in a bullet point, multi-part summation of the Genesis series, which will be formatted in an instant replay fashion. If you haven't, take some time to visit the features reviewed. You will not be wasting time. This information is staggering. Feature number 6, Water Buffalo Demoted, Genesis 1, 20 and 21. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. The absurdities of unbelief are nearly bottomless. It began in the Garden of Eden with Grandma Eve, and it's been unbelief stacked ever since. Take special note of Eve's line of thought when being tempted by Satan to embrace the spirit, his spirit of unbelief, Genesis 3:6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And she gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. A tree to be desired to make one wise. It follows then that carnaldom's academic scientific community has become fallen man's god. The M.O. of bondage was established in God's first book of the Bible, Genesis. When faith in God's word is replaced with unbelief, the absurdities begin to stack. Check this out. According to today's Darwinist, after being forced to concede in the 1960s that, yes, the earth had a beginning, despite their vociferous claims to the contrary, the earth, its universe, and all the life forms within all began in a big bang and out of virtually nothing about 13.8 billion years ago. From the accident called the Big Bang, trillions upon trillions of accidents occurred, and here we stand with an incomprehensible, godlike brain between our ears. According to these carnal geniuses, we began as a single-celled organism, life from non-life. Our second cousin was a banana, our first cousin a mushroom, and our father was a monkey. That is impressive thinking, wouldn't you say? We call this absurdities stacked. The following paragraphs are from the God Said, Man Said feature, Water Buffalo Demoted. The late Dr. Dwayne Gish, revered as the world's foremost creationist debater, had a few things to say about fish and fowl and evolution in his book, The Amazing Story of Creation from Science and the Bible. He writes, "The truth is, not one single fossil intermediate or transitional form between the microscopic single-cell creatures and the complex invertebrates has ever been found. When they first appear in the fossil record, jellyfish are jellyfish, sea urchins are sea urchins, sponges are sponges, and trilobites are trilobites, and that is true of all other invertebrates. There is not one shred of scientific evidence to indicate that these many different kinds of invertebrates ever evolved. This is powerful, positive evidence for creation. This fact alone, this huge gap between microscopic single-celled creatures and the complex multicellular animals, proves beyond doubt that evolution has not taken place. Vast numbers of the fossil invertebrates have been found. Vast numbers of fossil fish have been found. But absolutely nothing in between has been found. The fossil evidence shows that every one of the many different kinds of fishes appear fully formed and distinct, end of quote. All creation reproduces after its kind, as Genesis reports. How's this for a God-inspired truth for the skeptics? On the fifth day of creation, which occurred just over 6,000 years ago, God made the majestic whales of the oceans. The whale, which is a mammal, finding itself back in the sea, has caused considerable puzzlement for the evolutionists. How? Why did it go back into the water after all of the mutating and evolving that it did to get out? The following excerpts are from the God Said, Man Said feature, Their Imaginations Became Vain. Evolutionists were forced to come up with a plausible theory on how seagoing mammals such as whales, dolphins, and porpoises evolved. Remember, mammals supposedly evolved from the sea, so how did these mammals end up back in the water? Some evolutionists suggest that an even-toed land mammal like the water buffalo is a likely candidate to have evolved into the present-day whale. They speculate that the water buffalo liked to hang around the water a lot, and over eons of time, his hind legs simply fell off and his front legs changed into flippers. And the science student said, no kidding. The water buffalo's hairy hide simply changed into smooth, thick blubber, and his nostrils slid up to the top of his head to form a blowhole. Then his tail evolved into flukes, and because he was floating around in the water all the time, his body became enormous, and the student said, isn't that interesting? Evolution is so awesome. Finally, from the March 2016 issue of Acts and Facts under the title, Are Whales and Evolution Joined at the Hip? Darwin's thought about a bear-like animal evolving into whales is now seen more as an illustration than a reality. For many years, evolutionists held that whales evolved from an extinct carnivorous mammal group called Mesonychids. Their interpretation of fossils supported their conclusion. Ernst Mayr said in 2001, a beautiful series of intermediate stages also exists between the Mesonychid ungulates and their descendants, the whales. But now most evolutionists reject the Mesonychid as ancestor for whales. Instead, important new fossils discovered in Pakistan are interpreted as filling that role. DNA sequences have also been compared between whales and living animals that have features similar to those of the new fossils. Evolutionists now have a firm understanding that whales evolved from an animal more related to giraffes and camels. End of quote. The idea that the magnificent whale was once a water buffalo, or maybe a giraffe or a camel, or who could say really, is certainly intellectually satisfying, don't you think? God made the fish and the whales and the fowl of the air on the fifth day, just like Genesis said. Feature number 7. God's likeness is big business. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Excerpts follow from feature 7. The greatest of all God's creation miracles must be his creation of mankind, because we were made in his image and after his likeness. All things were created for our sakes, an understanding that today's science knows as the anthropic principle. We are not the highest evolution of the animal kingdom. As we will see in Genesis chapter 3, sin enters the world and the law of sin and death begins to reign. One of the many consequences of sin entering the world was that the diet of many of God's once vegetarian creatures began to include other creatures. There is a reason a person can eat a hamburger, but not a man burger. And that reason is laid out in Genesis 9, 5, and 6. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. The image of God is serious business. For those looking for God-inspired truths in Genesis, how did the image and likeness of God escape them? We have been created with God-like attributes. The incredible, even immeasurable power and capacity of the God-like human brain flies full in the face of the theory of evolution, which is the God of the world's academics. This empty theory requires an extreme amount of time and an absurd and mathematically impossible amount of chance, along with the concept of the survival of the fittest, in order to have even a semblance of working. So how does the human brain fit into its conversation? The brain's capacity far exceeds our needs. Truly, the human brain is the most underdeveloped resource in the universe. Man was made in God's likeness. Stuart Burgess, who has written over 150 scientific papers on the science of design, expounds on the marvels of the brain in the book Wonders of Creation. A healthy human brain has something like 100 billion nerve cells called neurons, which communicate with one another via synapses. Each individual nerve cell can have thousands of connections, which means that there are hundreds of trillions of connections in the brain. The synapses function like computer microprocessors with memory storage and information processing capabilities. The staggering complexity of the human brain is far greater than any computer made by man. Studies by brain researchers at Stanford University found that a single human brain has more switches than all the computers in the world combined. Dr. B.H. Lipton writes the following in his book, The Biology of Belief. When it comes to sheer neurological processing abilities, the subconscious mind is more than a million times more powerful than the conscious mind. Adam and Eve were not grunting cavemen and cavewomen. To the contrary, they were genius upon genius, and there is a plethora of information to certify this truth. How about something a little more current regarding the genius of God's first man? The following excerpts are from the God Said, Man Said feature. Meditation rebuilds gray matter in 8 weeks. My soul is continually in my hand. The world's science was shocked. Sprinkled around the globe, science discovered individuals who had experienced some type of traumatic event, after which these individuals then displayed savant-like skills. A savant typically demonstrates extraordinary abilities in a single skill, such as art, mathematics, architecture, or music. Despite these abilities, a savant is typically socially incapable of functioning in the human community in most other ways. But now, a small group of people, after experiencing a traumatic event, an accident or blow to the head, for example, demonstrated savant-like skills, but still maintain all of their original and normal life abilities. This discovery was most distressing to the camp of the evolutionists because their refrain of time and chance couldn't produce these latent outer worldly skills. These particular humans, or possibly all humans, have these latent savant-like powers already on board. Do we dare say, even downloaded into us by God? When the researchers were asked how one might unlock the inner savant without undergoing a traumatic event, the answer was to meditate. Nobody on earth can meditate like the Bloodbot. The August 2014 issue of Scientific American published a 6-page feature titled Accidental Genius. In the article, research addressed the concept of acquired savantism. One plausible explanation for the hidden talents that emerge in savant syndrome, whether early in life or induced by injury, is that these reservoirs of skill and knowledge must be inherited some way. We do not start life with a blank slate. End of quote. Imagine savant-like skills downloaded in the beginning into our godlike brains. When the law of sin and death entered the picture through unbelief, it's been downhill ever since. Stanford University professor Gerald Crabtree reports that human intellect peaked 2,000 to 6,000 years ago. Adam and Eve were created just over 6,000 years ago, and they would have been genius upon genius. Feature number 8. Not red in tooth or claw, not at first anyway. Genesis 1, 29 and 30, and God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, and the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. The following statements are from feature number 8. Could it be possible that mankind and beasts such as the lion were vegetarian or fruitarian in the beginning, just like God said? It should be noted that the entire food chain always begins with vegetables and fruits. A few paragraphs follow from July-August 2024 issue of Scientific American under the title, The New Science of Health and Appetite. For the entire first half of our known history, hominids seem to have maintained this plant-based diet. They left no material trace of meat eating. It is not until nearly 3 million years after our lineage got its start that there's any evidence that they exploited large animals for food. We're now pure carnivores. We're not pure carnivores. We never were, says paleoanthropologist and evolutionary biologist Peter Unger of the University of Arkansas. Our teeth are not designed for meat eating. That doesn't mean we can't survive on animal tissue, he notes. Cutting and cooking both make meat easier for us to consume. But anyone who chewed on beef jerky long enough knows that our teeth really aren't designed for that, or for that matter, raw steak. Additional statements from this God Said, Man Said article. One thing the anthropologist got right is that we didn't start out as carnivores. Genesis 1, 29 and 30 tells us exactly how it all began. Adam and Eve would have been genius upon genius, and they were not slump-shouldered, ignorant, grunting hunter-gatherers hiding in caves and clubbing any creature that came into range. No, these geniuses lived in a garden paradise where they would simply pick nature's perfect fruit and sit right down to dine. We did not start out as carnivores. In the beginning, man and all mankind ate fruits, vegetables, and herbs. When you understand that fact, it makes the following discovery especially exciting. Paleontologist Greg Buckley and his colleagues at Roosevelt University in Illinois recently unearthed quite a discovery. The discovery was a very ancient crocodile fossil, which has the world of paleontology scratching its head because, as revealed by its dental structure, this crocodile was a vegetarian. Yes, all creatures, from man to the lion to the crocodile, were all once vegetarian. It must be noted that some of the world's most powerful creatures are vegetarian, like the elephant, ox, horse, and more. God's Word has all the answers, and whether they are my answers or not wholly depends on me and my childlike faith. Vegetation and trees cover the earth. There were no deserts, no badlands, no ice-covered poles. It was a world covered with greenery, respeckled with glorious colors, the diet of man and beast, end of quote. Feature number 9, the primacy of 7, Genesis 2, 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. All the foundational premises of the world and its universe are established in Genesis. yes, God-inspired truths, but they can only be seen with eyes that have been opened. Excerpts from Feature 9 follow. The leaders of the communist revolution could not abide a seven-day week. To them, it was simply an example of Sunday school foolishness. I'm reminded of a last-day prophecy in Daniel 7:25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. In 1792, the socialists of France, in rebellion against the seven-day week, instituted a new calendar with a 10-day week. It created national confusion and was discarded 14 years later. In 1929, the communist leadership of Russia, in an effort to destroy any attachment to the Bible, instituted a five-day week, which was in the trash can just 3 years later. The unbelievers have never been deep thinkers, you know. Seven is the number of rest and the number of completion. Jesus Christ is both of these. Jesus promises rest for the soul in Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hebrews 3:18-19 speaks of those who did not enter into his rest because of their unbelief. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Seven is also the number of completion. God finished his work and rested on the seventh day. Jesus made this telling statement as he gave up the ghost on Calvary's cross. John 19:30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It is finished. Satan's stranglehold on the sons and daughters of Adam was broken, and salvation was purchased for all who would call upon the name of Jesus Christ. When he said, "It is finished," Jesus Christ is imprinted on the number seven. He is rest and completion. The image of Jesus Christ is imprinted on all things because this pleases the Father. Biblical numbers have their story to tell, with the number seven standing at the very top. It's surprising that anyone would reject the seven-day week principle when one considers that a lunar month, which is a product of orbit and space and time, houses roughly 4 7-day cycles. Those who suggest the seven cycle comes primarily from religious root should be advised that the number seven is not imposed on us from the outside, but from the inside. This becomes obvious when you note that plants, insects, and animals also have weekly cycles. The seven-day cycle is not a product of culture. To the contrary, culture is a product of seven. The foundation of wisdom itself is the number seven. Proverbs 9:1 reads, "Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars." When Joshua and the children of Israel began their lives in the Promised Land, the number seven played an integral part. The following verses in Joshua 6 are in regard to the first conquest in the Promised Land, the famed city of Jericho, the city where the walls came tumbling down. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And seven priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him." Perry and Dawson, authors of the book The Secrets of Our Body Clocks, revealed this is what they reported. Weekly rhythms, known as chronobiology, as circumseptum rhythms, are among the most puzzling and fascinating findings of chronobiology. At first glance, it might seem that weekly rhythms developed in response to the seven-day week imposed by human culture thousands of years ago. However, this theory doesn't hold once you realize that plants, insects, and animals other than humans, also have weekly cycles. Biology, therefore, not culture, is probably at the source of our seven-day week. Jeremy Campbell, chronobiologist, refers to the father of chronobiology, Franz Halbert. Franz Halbert proposes that body rhythms of about 7 days, far from being passively driven by the social cycle of the calendar week, are innate, autonomous, and perhaps the reason why the calendar week arose in the first place. All of creation, including a whole society of approximately 8 billion people, marches the beat of a seven-day rhythm. This biological clock is the handiwork of God. Life begins at seven. Why seven? Why seven in primitive single-celled organisms? Why seven in bacteria? Why seven in all forms of life? The answer is God's common design and all things revolving around Jesus Christ, his singularity. The biblically commanded quarantine revolves around a seven-day cycle. Read that in Leviticus 13, 1 through 6. Campbell expounds further on life's rhythm. Perhaps the most intriguing of these body rhythms are those that have a period of about 7 days. These circumseptum, seven-day rhythms, are one of the major surprises turned up by modern chronobiology. A central feature of biological time structure is the harmonic relationship that exists among the various component frequencies. A striking aspect of this relationship is that the components themselves appear to be harmonics or subharmonics, multiples or submultiples of seven, a number that has played a disproportionately large role in human culture, myth, religion, magic, and the calendar. The heptatic, sevenfold nature of life is demonstrated throughout the Bible. In the book Hidden Treasures in the Biblical Text, Dr. Chuck Missler weighs in on the number seven. The reoccurrence of seven, or an exact multiple of seven, is found throughout the Bible and is widely recognized. The frequent occurrence of the number seven is conspicuous, even to a casual reader. We encounter the 7 days of creation in Genesis, the seventh feast of Israel. 7 days after God directs Noah to board the ark, it starts raining. 7 days before the doves. Jacob serves 7 years for each of his two wives, seven kine and ears of corn and Pharaoh's dreams, seven good years, seven famine years, seven lamps of the menorah, the seven elements of furniture in the tabernacle, 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the repeated use of seven in the Levitical priestly instructions, the 7 weeks to the Feast of Weeks, the 7 months between Nisan and Tishrei, and the 7 years of the sabbatical year, and the seven times seven to the Jubilee year. The seven priests with seven trumpets, circling Jericho 7 times in the book of Joshua, 7 nations of Canaan. Solomon was 7 years building the temple. Naaman washed 7 times in the river, 7 loaves fed the 4,000, etc. In the book of Revelation, we encounter 7 churches, 7 lampshades, 7 stars, 7 seals, 7 horns, 7 spirits of God, 7 angels, 7 trumpets, 7 thunders, 7 crowns, 7 last plagues, 7 bowls, 7 kings, and there are many more sevens and more subtle in their presence, end of quote. Jesus Christ is God's singularity, and it is truly demonstrated in seven. One last quote from Dr. Missler's book that you'll find exciting is this statement concerning Mount Moriah, which is today's Jewish Temple Mount. The peak of the mount is a bit further north at about 777 meters above sea level at the place which would later become known as Golgotha, the exact spot where Jesus Christ would be crucified as the offering for sin 2,000 years later, end of quote. Everything is words, and everything responds to words. The words we speak are prophetic for good or for evil. Your body is made up of amazing cells, estimated to be 50 to 100 trillion strong, and they were spoken into existence by God's words. Every second of the day, old, worn-out cells are being replaced with brand-spanking-new replacements. Medical science tells us that in 7 years, note seven, every cell in the human body is replaced, even the skeleton. To quote Dr. Lipton from The Biology of Belief, every day, Billions of cells in your body wear out and need to be replaced. For example, the entire cellular lining of your gut is replaced every 72 hours. In order to maintain this continuous turnover of cells, your body needs to expend a significant amount of energy daily, end of quote. Everywhere we look, it's the primacy of God's number seven. Genesis 2:3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. It's true. Feature number 10, unto dust shalt thou return. Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. From this feature number 10, no matter how lofty, sanctimonious, and sophisticated man purports himself to be, he is upon final analysis a walking, talking lump of time-limited recycled mud. All of what we see on the earth, including your own selves, has been constructed out of dirt, which was spoken into existence by the spoken word of God just over 6,000 years ago. In a Newsweek magazine article titled Life from Clay, the following was printed. As if the biblical tale of man's creation from the dust of the ground were haunting their unconscious minds, NASA chemists have presented evidence that life on Earth may have gotten its start in clay. They have shown that clays attract the organic molecules that make up protein and DNA, the ingredients of life, possibly from the sea during high tides. The clays might then trigger chemical reactions that string the building blocks into proteins and DNA. The latest experiments show how, according to NASA's Lila Cohen, clays scavenge energy released by such natural processes as radioactive decay. They store the energy in the form of trapped electrons and then release it when subjected to stress, an earthquake, for example, or from wetting and drying as the tides rise and recede, says Cohen. The ability of clays to store energy, catalyze reactions, and perhaps self-replicate all attributes of living systems is forcing us to re-examine at a very fundamental level the definition of life. It is common knowledge that the chemical and mineral content of your body is identical to the Earth's. Every schoolboy and girl knows that when you die, you turn back to dust, to dust. The ancient Miatsu people of China have chronicled their lineage back to Japheth, the son of Noah, and from there all the way back to the world's first man, whom their genealogical record calls Dirt. Arthur E. Troeks, in an article titled Genesis According to the Mayo People, renders the original Miatsu name in the following quote. It is clearly meant to portray Adam, the version of whose name in the Miatsu language, as in Hebrew, Akkadian, and so on, means earth or clay, the substance from which he was created, end of quote. In regard to the first man, famed historian Flavius Josephus recorded, this man was called Adam, which in the Hebrew tongue means one that is red, because he was formed out of red earth compounded together, for of that kind is virgin and true earth, end of quote. Man is simply recycled dust, and his linkage to the dirt is irrefutable. J. Rubin's famous book, The Maker's Diet, makes this more abundantly clear. The following excerpts are from his book. In 1989, Dr. David Stratton, a respected epidemiologist at Britain's London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, launched a tidal wave of debate with a complex theorem of human immunology, development, and disease control, saying, we need dirt. Dr. Stratton proposed that society's growing separation from dirt and germs may well be the cause of weaker immune systems, resulting in the growing incidence of a wide range of maladies. Near epidemic waves of diseases, all but unheard of in previous generations, are striking modern societies around the world. They are still virtually unknown in primitive societies today. How many people do you know who suffer from asthma, allergies of all kinds, irritable bowel syndrome, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, Crohn's disease, chronic fatigue syndrome, or immune disorders of some kind? The list seems to be endless. A recent report in New Scientist said researchers have discovered that microorganisms found in dirt influence maturation of the immune system so that it is either functional or dysfunctional, end of quote. Adam, Mr. Dirt, absolutely, end of quotes. We are made out of the dust of the earth, just as God declares in Genesis. This God-inspired truth is foundational to all of life, and when we die, it is an important truth to remember. The earth always reclaims its dust. The beautiful thing is, in Jesus Christ, we can turn this vanity of recycled mud into eternal glory. It all begins at born again, where Jesus Christ makes all things new. The Word of God is true and righteous altogether, a place to build a life that will last forever. God said, Genesis 3:19, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till I return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." God said, Genesis 1:26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." God said, Genesis 1:29 and 30, "And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, and the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. Man said, "So what if there's no recorded history past 5,000 years? I'm believing 13.8 billion Big Bang years anyhow. The alternative is that it would have to be God created. And I can't abide that." Now you have the record.